Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Petramin podcast. This is Ruth Shannon, your host, and we're here once again for the episode of Hydra Mover from Concepts to Currents. Once again, we have Jan Vigo, who's here to continue the discussions and maybe have a little bit more juicy answers for us and keep it interesting. So let's see. Welcome, Jan Vigo, to episode 2 of Hydra Mover, Concepts to Currents. Now, we're right now in the stage of asking you a little bit more juicy questions about Hydra Mover. All right, when I saw it at 8 p.m, I think these are the kind of questions you asked, but I'm hoping to get a little bit more about the whole project, yeah? My very first question for you would be, can you also share with me the role of collaboration with the rest of your partners, how this came about? Were these the companies that you initially, or all of you initially planned to work with, or were there other companies that wanted to work with you and things changed along the way?
Absolutely. I think what we discussed in the first episode as well is that nobody can do these kind of changes alone. It kind of creates a village to make a movement. And for us, it's always been very important to find like-minded partners that wants to develop and achieve the same thing as we do.
Yes.
And I think I wouldn't say that the choice of partners, I would say the partners that came together, mm-hmm. and formed the Goal Zero Consortium was exactly that. Everyone came in with a wish to really make a difference.
Yeah.
To put the stake that's needed to make it happen.
Right.
And only through collaboration, common goals, and working together towards achieving this, it wouldn't be able to achieve what we did in 18 months.
Yes.
So, it's been an excellent journey, and I think the partners that came together was the right consolidation to make the Hydra Mover a reality.
That's great to hear. Okay. Now, what are the challenges that you face working together also for the Hydra Mover itself?
I think, I mean, this is like everything else. There will always be challenges.
Yes.
But I think one of the challenges here is that for electrification of marine vessels in particular, there is no standards established, and we are looking at different technologies that we're going to use kind of together to make a final product. So technology adoption, working together to participate and contribute in developing new standards, mm-hmm. has been key. And of course, through any kind of engineering project, there will always be obstacles. But I think from the discussions and arguments, we have always come out of any discussions stronger with good solutions. So I think it has been a very constructive process.
Great.
and a collaboration that has been very fruitful.
That's great. Now, from what you initially planned, or the all companies came together, you know, you had a plan or you had a vision on how you wanted Hydra Mover to be. And now that it's already here, is it very close to how it initially was planned? Or as you know, as things changed, and like you said, a lot of elements put together, is it very similar to how you initially visioned it to be?
I don't think it's too far away. I think what we're actually seeing on the trials now as well, it's actually overperforming a bit, which is fantastic.
Great.
So there was a few obstacles that we needed to solve. I mean, we also wanted to look good, of course. that's one thing. But also, when you come to electric vessels, batteries are heavy.
Yeah.
That means that we need to make the vessel as light as possible. Hence, we built it in aluminium.
Right.
At the same time, we also want to reduce the drag, so the resistance of the boat in the mm-hmm. water as much as possible. So we built it in a catamaran setup, which also looks very cool, actually, compared to what we call a monohull, a traditional vessel.
Yeah, it does look cool.
so I mean, there's been a lot of changes along the way.
Yeah.
All in the with the goal to optimize weight, to optimize efficiency,
yeah.
and to optimize the user friendliness right. of the boat.
Okay. Now, in these 18 months, very short span of time, I'm sure there were a few hiccups along the way. Do you remember one particular moment where all of you were cracking your heads, thinking, how are you going to solve this? This is not something you expected. Any moment like that at all?
I'm sure there has been.
Can't disclose?
But I don't think there has been any more than on any other innovation project. You have to remember this is not a vessel that's been built before.
Of course.
It's a new design of the vessels. We are fitting new types of battery. We have built a new solution for swappable batteries. In a very small space, as
yes.
we have. The same time as we want to kind of optimize the as I said, the user friendliness. So there has been quite a few challenges, but again, with the mindset of people when they come together, when they really want to solve something, this is a fantastic example of where everybody basically pulls up their arm sleeves and gets their hands dirty and ensuring that we can deliver.
Okay.
And I'm sure we will continue to optimize this vessel going forward as well.
Right.
To make the best vessels for electrification of the port of Singapore and the region and Southeast Asia as a whole.
Great. Thank you for that. Okay, so another interesting question. I know that the Hydromover was actually built with the idea in mind to make sure that it's easy on the environment. Now, how easy is it on the pockets?
I mean, we have built a prototype. Prototypes are never cheap, and they have a tendency to become a little bit more expensive than anticipated. So I don't think the prototype is a good example
of how much
the vessel will cost. Not that being said, a electric vessel or a high technology vessel as this is costs a little bit more than a traditional ICE vessel, as we call it.
Yeah.
So an internal combustion engine.
Yeah.
However, it is a lot cheaper to operate. So there is a lot less moving parts. We basically have an electric motor that's directly sitting on the propeller shaft, compared to a diesel engine, which is basically hundreds and thousands of moving parts. Wow. So the maintenance of the vessel is much cheaper. Which brings the total cost of ownership down compared to a ICE vessel. But we are continuously working on getting the investment cost of the vessel down to a comparable level of ICE. But at the moment, it's slightly more expensive to purchase.
Right, yeah, because I think ultimately we want a lot of people to adopt the more, you know, environmentally friendly options. Now, the next part of it is, I know you have an upcoming project, the Hydro Glider. Maybe you can share a little bit more, because that's what I'm most interested in. We shared about in episode one, yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Hydro Glider is our second project, which we have deployed. This is a 12-meter passenger craft, which is built in composite material.
Wow.
In composite, to make it as light as practically possible.
The chairs.
The chairs as well, yes. So what is very special with this vessel is that it has a hydrofoil delivered by a company called Lift Ocean. So it basically flies above the water.
Wow.
So as we receive, let's call it takeoff speed, the vessel will lift out of the water, and there will only be a wing which is submerged under the surface of the water.
That's very futuristic.
It's very futuristic. I think hydrofoils has been around for quite some time, but for this kind of use, it's quite new.
Yeah.
But by doing this on an electric vessel, we can reduce the power requirements up to 70 to 80%. Which is very important when it comes to how much we can take advantage of the batteries, how long distance we can go.
Right, wow. Okay, so you're saying this is a passenger vehicle, right? So in Singapore-wise, how will this be used, or where will this be adopted, or this particular Hydro Glider?
So it can be used as a crew transfer vessel
out
to the anchored ships outside Singapore, or as they are passing in the Malacca Strait.
Right.
So from land to sea.
Okay.
Or it can also be utilized for transport from the main island to the smaller southern islands.
So we've got like Pulau Ubin and all that.
For example.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay. And when can we expect for this to be launched? Hydroglider?
It's very soon.
I
cannot unfortunately reveal the date yet, but we are soon to launch it. So we are really excited about launching this vessel. It is in Singapore and it is in the water, and we are launching it very soon.
Amazing. And I'm hoping for good weather for then as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just like the Hydro Mover. All right. Now, so you were sharing with us that the Hydro Glider is made of composite material, right? Now, what's the reason why this was used for the Hydro Glider and maybe not for the Hydro Mover?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. So what's special with the Hydro Glider is that that it flies, and we need to make it as light as practically possible. And what is a fact is that batteries are very heavy. That means that we need to make the hull as light as practically possible to be able to lift it up and fly at as a low speed as practically possible.
Okay.
And the other one is built in aluminium, which is also a very light material, but also for cargo operations, it's more better suited material, so to say, for the Hydro Mover to be in aluminium.
Right. Okay. So you were also mentioning that, you know, the inside is very futuristic. We've got the whole touch screen and all that. And I can understand that, you know, this takes a little bit of figuring out. So maybe you can share with me a bit about, does it require extra, you know, instructions or extra licensing for someone to actually ride or drive the Hydro Mover itself?
So to answer the last part first, I think so for the licensing, there is no specific regulations at the moment for electrical harbor crafts.
Okay.
So we are following the regulations that are there for the moment in terms of certification and so forth for the formal certifications. Of course, introducing new technologies and new vessels, there is, of course, training required to be able to operate these vessels. But I think the feedback that we have from the captains that has been using it now, once they started operating the vessels, they are actually much easier to operate.
Easier to use.
Than a traditional harbor craft.
Right.
At the same time, I think bringing more technology and more sophisticated technology into the marine environment also can help attract younger people to come into the marine industry and to take an educational path towards working on board a boat, being a captain or an engineer. As I said, it's more similar to gaming than it is to operating a traditional.
I can imagine. That was actually going to be my next question, because this seems like something that a lot of the younger generation will be very interested in. But will it be easily adopted by those who have already been in the industry for very long and stuck on their ways, or they know how to operate, you know, the regular vessels? Any feedback on that? Or like you said, still friendly? Easy user friendly?
I think we have made a design which is very user-friendly. All our screens are touch screens with easy instructions and so forth. We actually require, from an operational perspective, we require actually less people on board the vessel than we do on a traditional vessel.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, we need to follow the regulations that are present in terms of numbers, minimum safe manning and so forth. But as you remove the diesel main engine, there is no longer really a need for a engineer on board. It's switchboards and batteries, and there's no moving parts, there's no oil, there's no fuel oil on board.
So another interesting question maybe would be, you know, ultimately all of us want to move into a fully sustainable world, right? When do you think, or how far, or how many years do you think we could get, or we could take, for this idea to be maybe the whole electrification of it to be in a bigger vessel?
I think electrification for sure is the most efficient way for short sea shipping.
Okay.
Without doubt.
Okay.
When it comes to long distance shipping, the technology for full fully electrified solutions is not there today.
Right.
But there are other solutions which is in place for or under development as well for long sea shipping, which includes the combination of, for example, a hydrogen fuel cells and batteries, which will be more of a hybrid solution, and the likes of ammonia and hydrogen engines and so forth. But for fully electric long distance shipping, there is no solution
right now. But then again, I don't think it's impossible. I would say many years back, this might not have even been possible as well. So we can only hope that one day we get there with future technology. Okay, maybe just to wrap this up, Jan Vigo, thank you so much for answering all the questions really, really well, better than I expected, and trying to give us as much as you could. Maybe a piece of advice for a lot of companies who are trying to move into the sustainable direction, and maybe there are obstacles, maybe they think it's not possible. What would be your advice for them?
My advice is don't try to do it alone. I think that's one thing. Collaborate. And this is a message to the industry, really, right? So collaborate and share knowledge. Together we can achieve anything. But it requires an industry collaboration and an industry that's coming together that wants to make this happen. Only then we are able to make these kind of changes. And only then we can realize projects like the Hydromover to become reality.
Collaborations, that's right. Now, a very big thank you to all our listeners and viewers for really tuning in for our two episodes with Jan Vigo. In episode 3 of the Hydromover, From Concepts to Currents, we will be sitting with the designers and builders who brought this revolutionary vessel to life. Now, don't miss out on this episode and this exciting conversation with the visionaries driving change in the maritime industry. This is Ruth, your host for the Petromin podcast. Until next week, sail on towards a greener horizon.